believe in click it or tick it?
Hello and welcome to Click It or Ticket. I'm Pete Mutino.
Glenn Marshall here, playing some very simple Meg White drums in the air.
And turning it blue.
We took dead air and turned it into a podcast.
Yes, and wow, Jack White is so attractive to me.
With or without the mustache?
I don't care as long as he's in my bed.
Sans mustache. Really? If you have a mustache, it means you're going to die.
Also, soon? Yeah.
Yes.
Is that true?
Like heart attack is it's like... Yeah, exactly.
If the mustache,
I feel like as soon as you grow a mustache, you admit defeat to a heart attack
or AIDS,
or just being a hipster. I guess nowadays, now the ironic mustache has made a.
I would love that because there are so many douchebag hipsters with the ironic mustache. I hope that like there's some cosmic force out there hunting them down because they look so fucking stupid. It's like, yeah, wow, no, everyone gets what you're doing. Yeah, no, we get it.
Carlos grew it as a joke.
Yeah, it's ironic and it's not funny anymore. It's funny like
the thing is,
for like 5 minutes,
the whole hipster thing's been going on for so long now, and it's all been piling levels of irony upon levels of irony that I don't think anyone knows what they even like anymore. It's just this sort of,
I don't think they knew what they liked in the beginning,
but now it's getting so convoluted. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I hate prepsters, but I'll dress like that to be ironic, but then that's not ironic anymore, so I need to go back. Like, you know, it just oscillates back and forth between sincerity and irony. And
revolver oscillates.
Revolver Ocelot?
I miss...
Back to that?
You know what? There should be, on Army bases, if you're born on Army base, you should be required to be given a name like a Metal Gear Solid style, which is...
Well, you do if you know anything about the military.
Which is Weapon Animal.
Secret military.
Weapon Animal.
Yeah, David Koechner, that dude, the bald guy, who was, he's like the big bald dude. He was in like Anchorman and all those like...
That guy's hysterical.
He named one of his kids Sarge.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I thought that was pretty fucking awesome.
That's fucking hilarious.
That guy's whole life is just a joke.
What, like after the guy in Doom? Or like
no.
What? Not yeah. Dune. Doom.
No, he just named his kid Sarge. He thought it was funny.
Oh. Well,
that was a pretty
badass. What would
name.
Your Metal Gear Solid villain name be?
That's hard, man. You can't just drop that. Like,
I think I'd be Bazooka Squid.
Bazooka Squid?
That's just off the top of my head. I could think longer.
I'd be Minigun Aardvark. Sorry, I just had to think of the worst one I could. And I succeeded, I think.
Nice.
Bazooka with Squid, I think, flows trippingly off the tongue. So, I'm pretty pleased
Club
with that.
Club Sauce Wolf.
But last night
might,
we
I
had
I might
our...
go with, like, Submachine Gun Salmon, or maybe, like, Submachine Gun Horseshoe Crab.
Submachine Gun's a long...
I know, that's why I wanted to
phrase.
Use it.
Maybe, like, maybe it could be, I could be like...
How about gun?
Hold on.
Gun animal.
New idea for Glenn.
Gator guns!
Howitzer bulldog.
Yeah, howitzer's a really long one, though, Nick.
Howitzer bulldog.
Howitzer's just...
There's no hyphen in it.
It's too long.
There's no hyphen in it, like some machine gun.
It's long enough
on its own. You can't win. You can't win.
At all.
Christian?
Well, now he can't do it. Now the pressure's on him.
Christian can't drop. You can't drop.
You can't drop.
I would.
You can't drop.
I would.
I can't.
Any luck over there?
Wow, you know, I feel like I'm better at the board. And I only did it one day.
I actually did it once, too, and I thought I was pretty great.
Better than Christian, definitely.
I've still yet to do it.
Yeah,
maybe that'll
be
60 or
you'll
something.
Be safe in the assumption that you'll be better than Christian.
I Christian used to be good, and then he got into drugs, and now look at this shit.
I mean, you most people. I mean, he did go through a phase when he first started doing drugs.
I where am
got,
invincible.
All right, Nick, being the only person who hasn't done drops, the only person who hasn't done drops from your perspective, out of your
truly, who's the
Ryan,
best?
Glenn, Christian, rank.
That's a tough call to see because the sample
based
size
based on
is,
an individual episode.
Well, the only one you did it was the Easter egg, right?
It's true.
The thing is, Christian at his.
But imagine me when I'm not. In the Easter egg mode.
See, Christian at his best after intercourse is really good. Glenn, it's amazing how much it reflects your personality because Glenn had his own style to it, which was It didn't have a whole lot of expertise, but it had attitude and persistence.
Nice.
And I liked your timing with it too. Like the applause, like you only used the applause drop for about half of the goddamn episode, but it was really funny because you kept at it.
Every time Christian talked.
Oh, is that what you did?
Yeah. Every time Christian talked, I was using the applause. I wouldn't let him talk without it.
Oh, now well,
Christian
we're gonna,
showing.
Now, do you see what
world.
I was doing, Christian?
Our listeners are gonna be civilian casualties to your petty bullshit.
Woo! Give it up for petty bullshit.
Even
civilian
when I'm
casualties. Sports news.
Pete, I can't. I mean, you had a whole lot of tenacity, as you say, and you had a whole lot of.
However, if you go back and listen to it, I was pretty spot on.
You had a pretty maniacal, deranged quality to it.
Well.
I mean, but you were in a
much
maniacal,
like alter,
deranged state of mind.
Yes.
We actually have a series of, I got to say, we haven't been given enough credit. It's all been happening behind the scenes. We have a series of excellent images that have been created by Eric LaMonica, both logos for the show and images based on stuff we've talked about.
I would say friend of the show, but that just doesn't describe the scope of what this person is.
Spouse
Maybe,
of the show?
I would say...
If you can even call him a person.
Bro of the show.
Bro of the show.
Bro of the show.
She means nothing to me.
You know, we should have a bro of the show of the month.
Yeah. Well, Eric would always
It would just
win.
Be Jeff and Eric. Like,
I feel like, no, there should definitely be...
Jeff's not going to make it more than a month.
I mean, he might make it this month.
If we keep podcasting, yes.
Yeah, dude. We Jeff, we're really sorry. We kind of slipped up last week. We didn't put that much material up.
Eric has made 2 Sit on a Trotsky images and a Guess the Gender of the Offender image. And my sister, who is like a professional artist, is actually illustrating a gorilla murdering someone on a football field, as well as Dr. Contrarian and the Game Master.
Yeah, dude, I was in the painting room the other day. There was like a football painting she was doing anyway.
Wait.
Oh, that's her first commission. Yeah.
So I feel like she has...
Other friend of the show. Other bro of the show.
I feel like she now has like the practice we need to like do the football thing. So
I told her to channel that.
She might be able to do that like for the gorilla, just like... Grabbing like the guy's arm, like his ball carrying arm, just tearing.
Wait,
it
she's
up.
Making a picture of the Game Master.
Yeah. Well, first she's actually she particularly liked. Remember when Cortelli was here? It was one of his last episodes of that week.
Who?
He's a big guy, blonde,
really attractive, bro. Glasses.
Oh, you mean
Rivers Cuomo? If he was blonde,
Safari
and
Tanner.
Yeah.
No. No.
Wait. Oh. We're talking about 2 different people here.
Boring Steve.
Yeah. That's different than Safari Tanner.
Nick is writing something down, and I don't like it.
I think he's trying to get inspired.
But anyway, you were saying.
All right, that episode we did a quiz about like how you would dress, and if you were, you know, from that girls' magazine, and we discussed what kind of dress, you know, the LBD, which is the lesbian bull dyke or whatever it was.
Oh yes.
Little back dress. So Glenn, she's working.
Why'd you say that from the first place?
She's working on an image of you looking overjoyed while holding a dress up. And saying something about it. So that's going to be yours. The Game Master is going to be some sort of malevolent puppeteer with games incorporated into it.
And like dildos as well. Because it's Game Master or Game Master.
Game Master should be stalking from the shadows.
No. But you are both.
So it'll be like a Yanis, like two-faced coin. Yes, like one side is the Game Master. And it'll be like cunning and
cunning?
And, yeah. And then the other side will be like he'll have that laurel of penises. A Laurel.
So on one side, there's cunts, and the other is just
game
penises.
Game Master.
So we have cunning and penis.
As far as this podcast goes, I know we're only in our 52nd episode, but...
Tanner said we would never make this far.
It's true. Thank you. But even though we're only on our 52nd episode, Game Master is kind of an archaic reference. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of to waste the artistic talent.
It's kind of our fault that we haven't brought it back.
I mean, it's...
He's no Dr. Contrarian.
Do you want me to...
It's not Dr. Contrarian, motherfucker.
I can't...
That's all I wanted. I was feeding for the drop.
I can't write questions for myself. Like, I can't
do that. Yeah, you can.
Not yet. Well, if you did, you'd truly be a game master.
Well, I could, but then I would always be right.
No, because you don't need to know the answer.
I'm always right anyway.
Yourself, Dr. Contrarian said. Who's the real game master?
Oh, dear.
I think we upset
Nick. And Nick, I thought we were turning the phones off for the show here. I was the one getting shit earlier.
I just got a text from the illustrator in question. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should definitely help her out during the show, right? That's
you know what? I just
could take the time.
I want to make sure it wasn't an emergency, Glenn.
Oh my God, this is an emergency. There's bees everywhere.
What if Nicolas Cage were being murdered by bees and he was shrieking in Japanese and I was the only one who could save him?
I would film it.
No, it's odd.
Try to
Once
engineer
again,
some sort of car.
Going back to an older podcast, but if there are bees attacking him, wouldn't he find a way to avoid it? Because in knowing and next, he knows what's happening next.
Or, yeah, that's true.
I'd see a paradox, boys.
Maybe seeing your future, maybe it's like Donnie Darko. It's like you can see your future, but you have to follow it.
It's
like,
fixed? Or
yeah, no, but that's not how next and knowing worked.
Next, like, all right, so he's like, so it's Nicolas Cage, and he can see the future, and there's like a bus of people that want to date him, and they come out of the bus, and they do an activity, and then he says next, and they can take the money or stay.
Yeah, only he knows which girl
MTV
he's going to end
reference.
Up. Only he knows which girl he's going to end up
and
with.
We thought you knew.
So he just goes next, you. And then that's the show.
So they have to do, yeah, it's like a minute long. They just
No. And then there's 29 minutes of like Nicolas Cage like riding horses with her on the beach.
No, just glaring at the camera.
Next was a fantastic show.
They had a homosexual.
Oh, next, I'm well
like
aware.
Chicks and
gay
dudes.
Next.
I liked how the conversation was scripted and it was still like fucking stupid.
Like what I really love though is when the girl comes back onto the bus and like it's starting to get down to the end and all the girls on the bus are like, "Fuck him! Like he's a tool! Like he didn't want any of this."
But then the next girl gets up, she's like, "I can't wait to like show him my stuff," and they're like, "You go, girl!"
As soon as she leaves the bus, they're like, "That fat cunt's never gonna get him!" Like it's so absurd.
I remember one of them. There was this like kind of like trendy, like metrosexual type of dude, and there were all these girls just making decent connections with him. He was like, "I just have to see what else is on there." He's like, "Next," and then there's this really superficial, really hot bitch. After 1 minute, he just goes, "You can take the money, or you can go on another date with me." Like, oh, for $1, and she's like, "I guess I'll go on another date." He's like, "Sweet." And all the girls are like, "What the fuck?"
That's pretty, like, just for a buck.
Yeah. I love my nuts.
I like the, also when they give them these insults where it's like they walk, you know when they get right off the bus and the first thing they just immediately next them?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, the person walks up and is like, "Your dick is too small anyway." It's like, "How the fuck do you know?"
How the fuck do you know? Get back on the fucking bus, you tranny.
Yeah, maybe you'll see his dick when he whips it out for one of your like competitors.
Yeah, no, I love that. I was just going to talk about that. I was watching this one where there was this really broed out dude.
Is that show still on, by the way?
I wish. I feel like the production value is like $0.
One of my roommates at school, one of his friends from home, was on Next, and really? They had no idea that he was on it. But then, like, one time he was like, they were watching it just by chance. They were like, "Oh my God." And he lasted like 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
After he was chosen.
The better version of Next is Hell Date. You guys ever seen Hell Date?
Oh, yes.
Hell Date is like... I
can't quote half
I don't
the
know,
show.
I started...
I don't know Hell... Quit fucking with the levels.
Yeah, seriously, dude. Are they really... Is that affecting the show quality? No, definitely not. But
it's really obnoxious
sorry,
to
yeah,
like, hear
just,
myself
just leave
it. Not.
Just leave it. Ryan, take your fingers off. Ryan.
I liked where he was going with it.
All right. Well, thank you for interrupting the podcast just to make this
I liked
point.
It, too. Now disagree and hate it.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm neutral on this.
All right. So Hell Date.
Yes, it is.
Hell Date is the concept. It is fucking amazing. There's always two dates. And one of, like, in each one, there's the first 15 minutes, second 15 minutes. And, one of the people date, like, who's, like, going out on the date, it's a blind date. One of the people is an actor. And they're usually, honestly, pretty good. Like, some of the ones I've seen, those dudes are, like, it's usually the dudes, the chicks are just, like, being chicks and scary. So it's, like, I don't consider that acting.
Yeah, we put up with it anyway.
No, that's exactly what I mean. But every once in a while, like, one of the dudes, one of my favorite characters, one of my favorite characters I ever saw was this dude. He's like, all right. And the actors always talk to the camera beforehand.
It's a BET show.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, absolutely. They're like, all right, so this time I'm going to pretend like I'm, like, I have the mind. I have the mind of, like, a 13-year-old boy.
Oh,
so I'm just going to fuck with her the whole time and be like super childish and like fuck with her and stuff.
And the chick liked it.
Yeah, oh, I know. No. The one I saw, he like threw sand in her eyes when they were on the playground.
But she dug it.
She did. She's like, oh, why'd you? Because she was kind of fat. She's like, why'd you throw sand in my eyes?
But the dude was like jacked. And,
yeah,
like,
I know. He was like
a jacked black dude. He was like really good looking.
It was so funny. And then the chick like starts losing at the end. And they always have one thing where they're going to try to like push them over the edge at like the dinner thing at the end usually or whatever the last thing is. And then. This is why you watch the show. Always you can tell
it's like watching NASCAR for the crash.
Yeah, yeah.
Except it's guaranteed.
You can see like the camera angle changes and it's like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? And they have two different midgets. They have a little black female midget and a little black like guy midget in a devil costume with the trident and they're sneaking around the restaurant and then like they tap the lady on the shoulder of the guy and they're like, "Nigga, you on Hell Date?" But it's like this little midget and they're like, "Oh my God, oh, I'm on Hell Date. You got me. This is, oh my God, that was awful."
Holy, it's ridiculous.
It's so good. It's always, what
are
you doing?
That's kind of like if you, I like that premise a lot because it's just like see what people put up with to hook up with an attractive person. But you could also do
it's like punked.
Have you seen Date My Mom?
No.
That's too scripted.
That and like
it's like that,
Room
that
Raider.
One?
Room Raider. That shit is so frustrating because.
Not for a minute do I believe these people are dating.
Every time they go out to... No, not even that, though. Like, I don't give a shit about that. Even if Christian would. But, like...
I agree, Christian.
All they have is they have, like, 12 items of... All right, there are three contestants, and they pick out, like, three pieces of information about each one, and then just repeat each of those things, like, four or five times, and that's
the
whole
episode.
He
had DVDs, which means he has a lot of patience, but I like that. But he also had condoms, which means he's sleeping around.
Yeah, and I
while he's watching DVDs. Now I don't like his DVDs.
I found one pink shirt.
It'll say that, and then...
I love when it shows the diagram of what it is, like, pink shirt in, like, the blueprint format.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Rotating.
Like it's in an inventory in an action video game.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it'll also... So we'll have that, and then it'll go to... And every time you go to a commercial break, it'll repeat all... And come back from a commercial break, it repeats all these things. And then when they're selecting, they repeat the same goddamn thing. So it's like... Three pieces of information for three people. So there's nine items, and they'll just repeat nine objects at me and the same stupid conclusions they drew from it for 30 minutes, and that's the show.
Yeah. It's like they based it on the supermarket. It's 12 items or less.
Yeah,
except for a date.
Except then I don't get to eat.
But not a hell date.
Slugheads.
I'm going to make a show called Heaven Date where people just go on great dates. It's called eHarmony.com.
And
at the end,
a real angel flies up to you and like just gives you a pine bough and is like, here you go. Enjoy your day, guys.
I know that.
I've been watching you from afar.
It's on Lifetime. It's really good.
It's a mixture of Touched by an Angel and Joe Rogan's Fear Factor.
And Michael starring John Travolta.
And Dexter starring Michael C. Hall.
And Wild Hogs starring John Travolta.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. And Martin Lawrence, dude.
I actually saw the end of that movie the other day.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Oh, did you see it after? Was Martin Lawrence already dead?
Jet Travolta? Yeah,
that was really sad when Martin Lawrence died in that movie.
Jet Travolta?
And in real life. And
Wait,
when
he died in that movie? Well, I didn't see
I never didn't see the movie.
But while we're talking
I just knew Martin Lawrence
Marissa
was in
Tomei
it.
Was in it. I was a little surprised.
While we're talking about eHarmony, though, that company is smart because they realized... Actually, no, fuck it. They're not smart. It took them like 3 years to figure out that like creepy old dude like really enjoying.
Now they have like the kind of heartwarming like hopeful music, like the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, but they show.
But it used to be like
couple.
This will be.
Oh, that shit was so infuriating.
And it had like two people dancing, and he was like, "It's gonna work."
That guy was
love you.
So creepy.
He was very Heaven's Gate type guy, you know, like very cult leader-ish.
I really don't like the cult.
No, Heaven's Gate was a cult.
It was also,
if you saw it, you'd be dead.
It was also a film. It was a film called Heaven's Gate. That's what I was referring to, yeah.
Was it about Heaven's Gate?
I don't know.
Well, we should see it.
I would.
Christian with the one drop.
Do you guys like the couples they're showing now?
It's always that one couple with like the artsy chick running her own business with kind of a big nose.
She's got boots and like a skirt. And
she's
vaguely
cute,
hot.
But like none of the people they show. And then there's like, this one couple where there's like a dude who's like 5'6", and then he's dating like Serena Williams. No, more like Venus Williams, basically.
Williams is much hotter.
She's like, oh, I know, the hotter than that black chick, but she's like 6'2", and they're like making out on a boat. None of those situations, like...
And then there's a really sad one where it's like the old dude playing hockey by himself, and he's like,
"See, that
after my last divorce, I wanted to kill myself, and then someone told me to go to a website, and I did."
No, see, that one kind of validates the website for me, because I feel like that's its most practical application.
Oh, sure, it makes you feel good that he found someone, but at the same time, when you first hear that, it's like, oh, my God.
Well, like, when you're first going out, when you're, like, 30, it's not like you want to rely on the internet to get married.
And you shouldn't
even
be, probably.
You don't?
Well, even if you are, I mean, whatever. I don't really care how you meet whoever you decide to bang for the rest of your life. Like, that's really not high on my list of, like, what I care about. But I feel like
Knitting sweaters, masturbation.
It's kind of like...
It means nothing to me.
Exactly. It's kind of cheating if you're using the internet before age, like, 50 or pre-divorce.
Yeah, if you're divorced
and it's not because, like... You beat the kids, and your wife wanted to get them away from you, and then you stalk them down to Motel 6.
And you're just, like depressed.
Motel 6, fine sponsor of Click It or Ticket here. Go to Motel 6.
If your husband beats you, you can hide safely at a Motel 6.
We'll leave the light on for you. I'm not even sure.
Oh, that's not Motel 6.
I know it's not.
I know you know that, and that's why I'm mad.
Yep. On the contrary.
Oh, contrary.
Sorry.
But we actually had, I posted about this on the website, but those of you who are iTunes listeners, Pete and I told some jokes last night.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, they did bad stand-up last night.
This is just like it.
This is very similar to it. It's just like it.
Pete and I stood up there with a large pile of straw that we put a sign on it that said Glenn, and we argued about dicks and stuff.
I would have to me.
So you would have missed nothing if you're listening to this.
The crowd hated it. It was just like bad stand-up. Go back to episode 13 and listen to this.
No, it went all right, though.
I thought I did well. I thought you did well.
Well, we had to follow fucking Judah Friedlander from Judah 30 Rock.
Who was on there, and he was really funny.
Yeah, and he stayed up there for like 20 fucking minutes.
He was the first person who
just soaking the energy and laughter out of the crowd like some sort of horrible enchanted orb.
People seem tired, a bearded orb, but people seem tired once he was done. I mean, and I will say, though, that's the first time I've seen someone actually interact with a crowd and have it actually be funny.
Really?
Yeah. Usually that's...
I've seen good comedians do that a lot.
In person?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always great.
And most of the time, right, most of the time I see comedians talk to the crowd, it's like, oh, where are you from? And someone's like, Jersey! And it's like, oh, Jersey? That sucks. How'd you get here tonight? And like,
on train!
Okay.
That's odd, right, because some of the shows I've done with you, I've seen some comedians who are very good at interacting with the crowd.
Cortelli doesn't count.
Yeah, Cortelli talking to the crowd.
When he handed out the poem to the person, he says, that's going to be worth a lot of money someday. It's signed by Babe Ruth.
Yeah, it was a poem that he wrote.
I think I could still recite that, too. I mean, it's his material.
Homage to Mike Cortelli.
I hope she got. I hope you got your money's worth. Fuck.
That's a
rip. She whispered softly as a dove. I smiled at her, quite content, having paid for love. She bent over to pick something up. What it was, I didn't care. I plunged a knife into her back, so tender and so fair. And as she lay there motionless, a lesson had been learned: that when you kill a prostitute, your money gets returned. That's from guest Mike Cortelli. I take no credit for that whatsoever.
And he had a guy in the
draft Christian just did, he did it without even looking at the computer.
No, I think he just accidentally hit it. He was masturbating.
He was like looking at his nails in a very
seductive way.
Ooh, now he's making eye contact.
Seductive
with
Christian.
He's raising his eyebrows in a suggestive fashion.
All right, sad times here on Click It or Ticket. Christian will actually be leaving us on Sunday.
What? That soon?
Yeah.
The fuck, Christian? Respond in drop form. Justify yourself. Quickly.
You say I would again. I didn't say to fucking God.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we got by without him for the first, like, 12 episodes or whatever.
Yeah, but they sucked. They ruled. Go back and listen to them.
Well, 6 and 7 were great.
6 and 7 are some of the most popular, and they're not on iTunes. You got to go back on the website, peaklandnick.com.
It's a crucial mistake by us, really.
Mistake.
I had ice in my mouth.
It's a bonus material, really.
Bonus Jonas.
Bonus Jonas, yeah. It's my favorite Jonas brother.
I like Swifty Jonas is my favorite.
I don't know any of the bonus the Jonas Brothers. What
they're Swifty, Switchy, and Twitchy.
Are they really the wait? What?
Bill, Swifty, Bill, and the other one is dead. Is what Christian is telling me now.
And I'm Swifty.
And Christian's Swifty, but
no,
what does that make me?
Christian is Sparks. Look for him on internet games. For Sparks,
find him.
But
can't win.
Pete and I couldn't win last night, though, when we were trying to get in to perform our gig. We were on Metro North, and
you didn't say the magic word.
Apparently not, because we got to Fordham, and we were sitting there, and Pete and I were talking
Which
about
is in the Bronx.
Sexual assault or whatever we talk about, and the train just all of a sudden turned off, and they were like, we lost power. We're good. This is an indefinite delay. That could mean just a couple minutes or half an hour. We don't know. And then we sat there. People were all gesticulating angrily and mumbling. And
I saw a little
people.
Girl crying.
That's
afraid
true.
She was going to die on the
I
train.
I saw a little girl cry.
Which she most certainly did.
Kill her. She means nothing to me.
Oh, God. I'm going to miss that attitude.
I saw a girl on the subway. She was with another man.
And so Pete and I, after about 10 minutes,
I've got a plan. You're beautiful.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, it's true.
I like the plan.
It's true.
I like the plan. I don't know if we can execute it, though. An execution
nah,
is
nah,
key.
Nah. Sorry.
So then they came on the mic again, and they actually were saying there's been someone who probably fell on the tracks. And that there's police activity, and that they don't know how long the tracks are going to leave. So Pete and I decided we would try to we would try to go out into the Arctic tundra and try to walk all the way to a subway.
Arctic tundra.
And take a subway into our gig because we're trying to get down to West 14th Street in the meatpacking district. So
yeah,
it was, that what you fags were doing down there?
Yep.
Packing meat.
Packing some meat, baby.
Oh, all right.
What's the difference between jam and jelly?
I don't know. Hit me with something clever.
You can't jelly your dick into your girlfriend.
And that means what to me?
Yeah, I don't have a girlfriend. What does that
What's
mean?
Your name?
Well, you still can't.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't do either.
Obviously, you've never seen jelly fuck monster porn. But I suppose that girl wasn't his girlfriend.
Camp Jelly Jam? But all right,
jelly fuck monster.
You heard it here first, folks. Jelly fuck monster.
You know that Pete's had jelly fuck monster in his pocket since episode 37. He's just been waiting for a chance to use it.
That was a off the cuff original for all you listeners out there. Sorry, listener, you.
So Pete and I walk. It says when we get off the train, though, this was the fucked
six
up part.
Six blocks. There were no blocks. We walked across a fucking highway.
I guess it meant like six intersections, and if you go from like. You know, if it's 3 miles between blocks, and it was we get off the train, and there's a sign that says, like, 5 train, 6 blocks this way. So we're like, okay, we can walk 6 blocks. We're supposed to go on at 9:30. This is like 8:15.
And at first, it's a spirited walk through the Bronx. We pass Fordham, we pass Arthur Avenue, we pass the Post Road. But then we walk across the Bronx River Crossway and
the Botanical Gardens, the Bronx Zoo. We keep fucking walking. It was like at least 2 miles. It was like 87 degrees last night. It was horrifying. We're trying to like perform, but we look like we've...
Then we waited
like,
at the train station for about 20 minutes. It was
at
great.
At least. And
then the train ride was about...
So did you guys do anything cool last night?
No. We met Judah Friedlander, and that was about it.
We didn't podcast,
was he a cool dude?
So no, we didn't do anything cool.
He's a nice guy.
He was nice, yeah.
He made a point of interacting with every single person backstage.
Did you guys get his number?
He's going to be a guest on the show.
Yeah.
To bro out?
Yeah. Next up, he's coming up. I think he's in...
he's en route right now.
He's in the waiting
room. I thought he was in the green room. Yeah,
he's waiting. He's tune in for our next episode.
Judah! No, 2 minutes, Judah.
Yeah, no, we'll get you on the next one, dude.
Just go back
dude.
In. And
Judah, Chris.
Just, dude.
Judah, I left a big pile of pot in there. Just do the drugs.
There's no way that guy
I still haven't seen
pot.
30 Rock. Is that worth doing?
It's a hit or miss, really.
Well,
some people love it. Some people hate it.
Did it hit with you?
No.
Oh. Really?
I can see why. It knows it's funny. It's too quirky for me.
It's trying too
hard.
I'm
not a big fan of Tina Fey being like, oh my God, look at all these things she's juggling. She's such like an emancipated woman.
I
like,
fucking
oh.
hate Tina Fey.
Alec Baldwin really saves the
show.
Yeah,
him and Tracy Morgan are the only reason I watched it when I first started watching
Even
it.
Tracy Morgan gets on my nerves on that
show. Yeah, because he's out of his fucking mind. But like, in real life now, like he can't like...
That's what I'm hearing. He's just like crazy. Like he took Brian Fellows and made a reality.
I don't think Brian Fellows was like an acting gig either.
That's actually his name.
Yeah, I think they just like brought in a bunch of animals and were like, here, this is your like new clothes. And he's like, oh shit. And he has like these big handlers. He's two huge dudes that go everywhere with him. It's weird.
He performed stand-up at my school, and I didn't see it, but I heard everyone, it like upset and disturbed everyone.
That's awesome, though. That's like... That's so fucking sweet.
What do you expect? That guy's hood is fucked.
I know, and he's so...
But Tina Fey fucking blows, though. I've said this before on the podcast, but fuck her. Like, have you seen her Weekend
Update?
I
would fuck her.
Have you seen how much Saturday Night Live sucks since she started being the head writer? Like, she is not funny in the goddamn slightest. How is she funny? Oh, she did a great Sarah Palin impression. Fucking hysterical. That's going to be funny for as long as she's relevant, which will be about 3 weeks.
Yeah, but that and Tina Fey is, like, really hot.
More.
Okay.
Really, really hot.
There are other hot chicks who aren't funny, like every fucking hot chick on the planet who are hotter than her.
Yeah.
She wrote Mean Girls, dude.
Oh, well, in that case, she's like avant-garde comedian a la Bill Hicks and fucking Lenny Bruce.
Those dudes aren't funny?
She had the balls to make fun of a vice presidential candidate.
Dude.
She's taking on the fucking powers that be. The governor of Alaska. If she ever goes to Alaska, she might not be well-liked.
I think Tina Fey's all right.
Hey guys, I like Tina Fey.
Actually, I have no problem with her.
I can't stand her. I can't stand her like mugging for the camera on Weekend Update when she tells a not funny, obvious joke.
Well, that's like what SNL was. It wasn't.
That's
her.
Like what this podcast. She was the head writer when that shit was going on, dude.
But before that, too, it was already shitty.
Whatever, it's still her responsibility.
It's not like
she, yeah, it's not like she was like, look, all right, here's the big power move that I'm making. Fucking hiring Horatio Sands.
So you're
in the hole.
So your argument is your argument is she takes over something that sucks and it continues to suck hard, therefore she's good?
Well,
fuck that.
No, my argument
I'm not saying therefore she's good because of that.
I'm saying it's not her fault.
She's shitty,
yeah. I'm saying she sucks, prove me wrong.
Mean Girls was a good movie.
She wasn't in it.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, she was the drunk mom or whatever the fuck that was?
No, she was. No. She worked at the school. She was the teacher. She actually had a very big speech at the end. It's kind of...
All right, so you guys love Mean Girls. Tina Fey's career is the best.
Exactly.
Yep. How long, Christian?
30 Rock.
30 Rock? Wow.
But you do remember how the media had that big embracing of Tina Fey. She started doing Sarah Palin impression. Man, it was like, she's the best female comedian of the last 50 years or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, and that's probably true.
Well, the media always gets
I don't think there
the
are
media
any...
gets everything
Laura
right.
Keitlinger is infinitely funnier.
I'll go. Lisa Lampanelli sucks. I'll go with Maria Bamford, too. She's fucking hysterical.
Maria Bamford is my favorite.
I thought Amy Poehler was funny until I saw Parks and Recreation.
I didn't see that.
But Aziz was on it. He saved the show.
She was funny in Hamlet, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, she was great in Hamlet, too.
Amy Poehler and Laura Keitlinger are both funnier than Tina Fey. You heard it here first.
Funniest stand-up female comedian.
Margaret Cho.
Tina Fey isn't stand-up. Yeah. She just knows how to work it. You know what I mean?
And on that note,
you know what I mean.
And we know
and
how
you
to work
out
it.
There, you know what I mean. Good night.